It's time. It is that time. Time for Styles and Watkins.
You can join the show by texting 916-339-1140. Find us on YouTube at Sactown Sports 1140.
It's time for Alan Styles and Chris Watkins.
Yes, yes, yes. On a Monday, it is good to be back. Styles and Watkins, Sactown Sports, taking up to 2 p.m. And, you know, obviously we have plenty of Kings basketball to talk about, pocket watching, whether or not it's possible for them to get quote-unquote tougher, where this whole thing is going to land. But you have NFL free agency just cooking right now. So throughout the show, we're going to continue to let you know who's on the move, who's going where. There's already been a bunch of moves, and it just started, an hour ago? So we will continue to break all of that stuff down for you as we talk Kings throughout the show as well. Chris Watkins, how you doing? Yo,
great. Good to be on this side of the mic. And, I'm definitely going to be actively watching this Kirk Cousins watch because things are, like you said, things are popping off pretty quickly. Players are signing left and right, and Kirk Cousins has made it known that he's going to try free agency. So, little concerning there, but definitely still exciting because football, I definitely think, needs this level of off-the-floor entertainment. Like, this is what makes the NBA offseason so great, and, like, football is kind of, I remember a couple years, or at this point, it feels like 10 years ago. You remember when the Eagles made their super team in their offseason where they signed Nnamdi Asamoah and completely changed their team? That was the last time I remember being like, wow, NFL free agency is popping. It's crazy. And today has had already, like you said, it's only been an hour, but it does feel like they're starting to kind of get a lot of that steam, and it's pretty cool to see football operate kind of like basketball has.
Yeah, they used to say, or they still call it the MLB hot stove, but really that it has not been that hot at all. Yeah. And this was supposed to be a big, it was with what the Dodgers did, but besides that, NFL has really taken over as far as what you're looking for and everything that's happening. And part of that, I think, is because of the deals and how these guys are always just looking for someone that's going to pay them top dollar.
Right.
So it does encourage more movement where you have baseball when you're signing 15 years, $450 million, and then nobody does anything, right? I mean, exactly. Shohei Ohtani, by the time we're going to talk about the baby race, by the time Shohei's done, my baby might have a baby. I mean, that's how long he's going to be with the Dodgers. And by the way, 10-15, that's when we're going to talk about the baby race. And I am going to break this down myself, not through the lens of anybody else. 10-15, I am breaking down the baby race and what went wrong for baby Styles. But you know, speaking of family and all of that jazz, we're wondering if there will be a Bosa reunion in San Francisco, as now the Bosa's, their mom, has put something on their Instagram as far as, you know, somebody to be opposite of Nick Bosa. They've been looking for somebody.
That's right.
And that's also because, unfortunately, Sacramento's own Eric Armstead is gone.
Yeah,
he's gone. It was a great run. He was a captain for 4 years. And he, you know, was somebody that was really just big play. We can call him Big Play A because he showed up in the biggest games.
Yeah.
Really going to miss that belly celebration. But, you know, best of luck to him. And now everybody, Chris, all the optimists are now saying, hey, we're about to make a huge move. So we're on the watch for the Niners to see what it is that they might do if it happens today.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. Shout out, of course, Eric Armstead. I think he was with the Niners for 9 seasons. So that's an incredibly long time. I'd imagine it was partially a dream come true for him. I'm not sure if he fell on the Niners or the Raiders side growing up, but playing locally, like that's got to be the dream for everybody who's from Sacramento. And so, you know, shout out Eric, and definitely hope he finds a nice home, and I'm sure he will. He's entering his, you know, I think he's 30 now, so he's still got a good amount of NFL career left in him, and he will definitely be remembered as a Sacramento legend for sure. But I think Niner Nation will definitely remember him fondly as well. So awesome to have Eric have the career that he had with the Niners, and hoping he can find a good good situation somewhere else as well, because like I said, I still think he's got a couple years left of some impact. And if you look at, I was looking at some of his playoff numbers, he's number two all time in franchise sacks for postseason. Mm. Like, he's a guy who's made his mark known with that organization. So shout out Eric, of course.
Getting to the Kings and the Rockets, that's another right. team that the Kings just can't beat. Right, the
0-3,
the Houston Rockets, and I'm there. I'm getting ready for the race, and I stop by. That's right. I say what's up to Chris and the rest of the crew, and the Kings were rolling, and it's almost as if we're seeing the same movie over and over and over again with the Kings. They start out, they're in the lead, and then something changes,
that's right.
something happens, and then the wheels fall off expeditiously. But I'll tell you what, I would have been extremely impressed. If they beat anybody, I don't know who is the worst team that the Kings could beat, shooting 18% from three. That is not a typo. 18.8. Don't forget the 0.8.
Don't forget it.
Percent from three. 6 for 32. 6 for 32.
Terrible.
Keegan Murray, 0 for 5. He might be broken for the rest of this season. De'Aaron Fox, 2 for 9. Kevin Huerter, 0 for 3. Mm. Malik Monk, 2 for 8.
Yeah.
The best 3-point shooter yesterday was Davion Mitchell.
That's right.
2 for 5.
Crazy. Yeah, I mean, it just we've talked about it before, but just this season in general, how many times are the Kings going to win when Kevin Huerter, Keegan, and HB go a combined 0 of 9 from 3?
Mm-hmm.
Just tough. I mean, those are the guys who, you know, Keegan has fallen a little bit out of this category, but those are the guys who, if they're not hitting shots, they're really not helping you on that night. And again, Keegan's kind of fallen out of that as he's, of course, improved on the defensive end. But at the same time, if he's not hitting threes offensively, you know it's going to lead to Keegan just in general being a lot less aggressive. Of course, Kevin Huerter's just been going through it all season long. You can feel that Kevin is starting to feel his leash kind of get smaller and smaller and smaller, and I wonder at some point we see Keon Ellis, we see Davion Mitchell getting more minutes. At one point, is that going to come for Kevin Huerter's starting spot? I don't know. And HB, you know, it's been an up-and-down year for him all year long, but last night was really, or yesterday, I should say, with a 3 o'clock tip, that was a game where it was the Kings' three stars, and that was it. And that's not the Kings' style of offense. The Kings' style of offense is, hey, Kevin Huerter, it's equal opportunity. If you have it going, if HB has it going, if Keegan, whoever has it going, we are going to share the rock. And it's not built for De'Aaron, Sabonis, and Malik Monk to lead the team all the way to the victory. They need help because it's baked into the offense. And the reality is, besides Davion, no one really helped on the offensive end besides those three.
Sabonis, you know, it's to the point now where we're going to do a lot of this during the summer. I don't know if you look at we've talked about the triple doubles, and
almost had a quad yesterday.
He almost did, and not in the right no. way. He would have had a triple double if somebody could have made a shot. He had 8 assists, right. And I don't know what they look at, Chris, but you cannot have your center, and I know that's why he puts up these numbers, but you cannot. The only way to be 10 of 11 from the field goal and have 15 rebounds, 8 assists, and barely be a positive. He was a plus one, yeah, with 25 points. The only way that happens is if you turn the biscuit over 9 times.
Nine
turnovers.
Yeah.
That maybe you need to relook it all. Like I said, you can't do anything right now.
Yep.
It is what it is. But you get 9 turnovers from Sabonis, okay? Harrison Barnes, it's cardio again. It's just cardio. 0 assists, 1 rebound, 5 points. He was a minus 17 in 21 minutes.
That's a team high.
He took 6 shots. 6.
Yeah, I mean, the Sabonis thing, too. Like, he had 5 of those turnovers in the third quarter, which is when everything went to crap, too. They got outscored 32-14 in that third quarter. And, yeah, Sabonis having 5 turnovers was a big part of why the offense just completely stagnated. And, you know, we could talk about the defense, too. I think that this game was another case in, hey, maybe if you just play a little bit of defense, your shots aren't falling. There's more than one way to win a basketball game. Maybe things go better. But, yeah, HB, like you said, back to cardio again, where he's just not really, you know, he's not imposing his will onto the opponent, especially against this Houston team. And, again, just kind of no sense of, hey, my team kind of needs an extra guy. Maybe I should be a little bit more aggressive. it was a frustrating loss. It definitely was. I understand why there's tons of people out there who just are more down now than they've been all year. But to me, and maybe it's more of a sign of where this team has put us, it was just I kind of expected it yesterday. I don't think I expected them to lose yesterday, but mm-hmm. at the same time, we've seen this team go from major highs to major lows so quickly all year long. It made a lot of sense for them to have this two-game win streak, even though one of those was struggling against the San Antonio Spurs team, and then we knew a disappointing loss was right around the corner. So in a weird way, it really didn't hurt me that bad yesterday, but I definitely understand why. You know, I think every time this thing happens, it's going to be the straw that broke the camel's back with somebody or some portion of the Kings fan base out there. And, you know, it's been incredibly frustrating. I don't know what to tell Kings fans out there who are looking for answers for how to fix this, because honestly, I don't think it's an effort thing. I think that for whatever reason, these guys just aren't consistent.
Yeah.
And that's got to be incredibly, especially as a coach, that's got to be one of the most frustrating things ever is, you know, we practice every day or all the time and you guys look a certain way. But then once the ball's rolled out there, I just have no idea what team I'm going to get.
Since January 5th, the Kings are 15-14, basically a 500 Ooh. Team over
Yikes.
2 months. That is from Frankie Cardicelli. When we get back, we continue the conversation. What went right and what went wrong for the Kings yesterday against Houston, the Rockets, and we are breaking down all things Baby Ray. Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
Sacktown Sports. Call or text at 916-339-1140.
916-339-1140 if you want to be a part of the conversation. All right, let's just start here without any prompted questions or anybody assuming this or assuming that. Yeah, I got on these airwaves, and hey, you put yourself out there, and
that's right.
Sometimes things work out for you, and sometimes they don't. Look, man, we sat there, and we tried our best. What we did was, it was probably only twice, right, where I cranked the music up on my phone, and I said, hey, go walk to mommy. And she normally what she had been doing is walking a little bit, then stopping, looking back. And I said, go,
I feel like
go.
That's normal, right?
Yeah. Now, so I was hoping, I thought that would be the issue. I thought she would move a little bit.
Right.
But you get out there, and as I mentioned, the rehearsal, we were not able to make it, so we didn't have that camaraderie
right.
with the other parents and all that jazz. But she got out there, and that's all that matters. I see people on the text line, 530, he's got to train his daughter better, man. My daughter would have smoked his. Well, then get out there.
Okay.
I'm serious, though. Like, you get out there.
Lights are bright.
The lights are bright. You're just hoping that everybody was sitting there just hoping that their baby just made Move. Eye contact yes. with whoever was over there and yeah. just cooked it. Because once they thought about it, because if you right. look at it, only about two
Watch
of them.
Watch the film, y'all.
Yeah, only about two or three of them actually moved.
Yes.
So everybody's just, what in the world yeah. is going on? And that's why I was just trying to say, look at my, she's yeah. right there, she's right there. And it was a little bit further than I thought. Yeah. I thought it would be a little bit closer, you know. So look, it's easy to say that. I got the tape. She's cooking. I got the tape. It's about who shows up when the lights are bright. And it's right. not a situation that you can replicate. And the only time you could have replicated it was during the rehearsal that I could not make. I was literally in the air. So look, go on out there and do what you got to do. But I don't want to hear anything if you guys haven't signed up yourself.
That's right. Yeah.
That's right.
It's,
you
it's
get
an
out
easy
there.
Easy sign up process. So put your money where your mouth is.
That's right. That's right. You want to text us 916-339-1140. I'll set it up for you. 530 and make sure you
yeah,
put your name on.
Yeah, we can go 1v1 as a matter of fact.
We can go 1v1.
Okay.
1v1
this
is a different
like the
story.
This could be like the Steph Sabrina
That's
of
right.
the three-point shootout, okay? You can have the race,
That's
but
right.
then you have the real race after.
That's what
know?
I'm saying because, you know, she could cook.
Yeah.
She could
you
cook.
You had the right strategy, though, because like you said, like all you want to do is get her going. Like you got the you pushed her
right.
a bit, and it's like once she gets going, it's almost like she can't. I mean, she'll probably stop in the middle.
The tears had me rolling. I've watched that video. I probably watched that video over 15 times yesterday because I couldn't see.
Yeah.
So I'm looking at mommy. She's there right in front of me.
At your feet.
And then I see out of the corner of her eye, are you crying? Are you crying right now? You got to shape up.
No crying in sports.
There's no crying in baby races. Yeah. We need you to figure this out.
Yeah. You also got unfortunate, too, because one baby just took off. Like, it took that baby 15, 20 seconds. Once that baby got going, there was no turning around.
That's what I'm saying.
Around.
I'm saying we still have a chance.
Yeah, right.
We still
that
have a
chance. That
could have
been your baby.
Yeah. It wasn't over.
It wasn't.
Until
it wasn't
it was.
I think she gave up too early, but it's fine. It's fine. It was a learning lesson.
Just like Jared Allen said, the lights were brighter than I expected.
It's fine.
You know, but, you know, Dave trying to say, hey, do you want to do part two? No, I don't want to do part two.
Not especially.
Why would I do that?
Yeah, maybe if it was like a close race, but like, you don't do a rematch when it's like,
no, the people are gonna say, wasn't he already out there?
Yeah, exactly. Right. How many chances are you gonna get?
Yeah, just weekly, just going out there
it's
weekly.
For the people, man. You know,
he really had on Scott?
Yes. No, I think he legitimately did. I'm pretty sure we heard it earlier. I think we heard it earlier where he put him on hold and everything.
Get that sound, Nate.
I'm pretty sure it happened.
Because
I don't think it was
that's ridiculous now.
It was doing a lot. It was definitely doing a lot.
That is ridiculous. And, you know, some things didn't go right for Baby Styles or the Kings, but some things did go
right
for the Kings yesterday. And Sabonis, of course, surprise, surprise, extended his double-double streak to 46 games. Are we impressed?
No, because as we know, this is kind of a sham record since he checked back in.
I forgot about that.
I'm not going to forget it. I can't let it slip because it was. I didn't love it, but he is technically 46 games into this double-double streak. It's his eighth double-double in the first half, which leads the NBA. And he's now tied with Jerry Lucas for the most consecutive double-doubles in one season as a King, which is a cool thing for sure. I think Oscar Robertson has like a 70-game streak, but it's over two seasons, so it's kind of a cherry-pick stat. But nonetheless, it is really cool, and it shows, if anything, that Domantas Sabonis shows up every night. If you needed any visual proof or evidence that he does, that's the number to look at right there. He gets you can literally pencil. You can put him in pen at this point. Mm-hmm. He is going to get 10 points, 10 rebounds at least every single game, and that's definitely something, especially for a Kings team that's been incredibly inconsistent all year. He's the one thing
that you can
count on.
Yeah, he is the one thing. Also, from the positive side of things, Kings free throws.
That's right.
Their last four games have actually been pretty darn good. They were 88% against Chicago. They were 83% against the Lakers, 94% against the Spurs, and 87% yesterday.
Yes.
And overall, season team shooting 73. They're still last in the NBA. That's how far back they were. And honestly, Chris, I'm not even sure how good this makes me feel, because at least you could say, oh, well, the free throws, that's why.
It's a start.
It's not even the reason that they've been losing.
Yeah.
They're finding new ways to lose.
That is true. 88% over the last four games, but it's at the very least like a step in the right direction. Mm-hmm. I think, I'd like to say a lot, beggars can't be choosers. And we can't complain about them missing free throws all year long and being absolutely horrendous, and then have them go on a nice little streak here of actually making their free throws in an important stretch and just kind of let it slide by. Like, I'm just more hopeful that this is possibly a sign that come playoff time, maybe the Kings can, four games, series goes seven.
Yeah.
If you have four games where you're shooting 88% from the free throw line, that's a 15 percentile jump from where they're at. So I'll just take it as a positive, and I'm not going to say the Kings have figured it out. It's over. We don't have to worry about it. But at the very least, it's a really good sign that maybe they're not actually just terrible and there's nothing we can do about it. Maybe this is a sign that, they can focus up for a little bit and at least knock some down.
Yeah, and speaking of positives, for whatever it's worth, Stephen A. Smith was talking about the Lakers and Kings, and I'm not really sure why they were talking about the Lakers and Kings in a seven-game series as opposed to a play-in, but Stephen A. said he would take the Kings over the Lakers, and, I mean, maybe it's just the ownage that the Kings have had over the Lakers, because based on how they're playing, I wouldn't say so, But they figure it out against the Lakers. We're going to see it. See if they can do it again this week.
Wednesday, right?
And this makes it. And this makes it another very, very important game. I think I saw somewhere, Chris, if the Kings lose to the Bucks tomorrow and then lose to the Lakers would jump over them in the standings.
I wish I didn't know that information. That's not great. No. I mean, that's not where the Kings want to be, obviously. And that is scary because, yeah, the Kings have dominated the Lakers all year long. I think they're 3-0 in that season series. And it's tough to beat a team four times. Mm-hmm. Like any team, it's tough to beat them four times in a row. And it'd be really unfortunate. And that's why it was so imperative that the Kings win a game like yesterday to keep them out of a situation where they are 2 days away from possibly moving down in the standings yet again. So this thing's going to continue to fluctuate day by day. Who knows? I'm not going to chalk it in. We've seen this team go from high to low, back up to high, literally overnight. So I'm going to hold off on saying that they're going to be there. But at the same time, it's a tough test in front of you. Bucks and Lakers back to back. It's definitely not crazy to say that they. I don't know if they'll be favored. Like, will they be favored in both of these games? I'd be surprised if they're favored tomorrow.
Yeah, I believe Giannis has been questionable every game, but he's been playing.
Right.
So I don't know there. And then the Lakers, yeah, I don't know if Vegas kind of I don't know if Vegas takes into consideration just the fact that the Kings have kind of owned the Lakers as opposed to just the fact that they haven't been playing that well.
Right.
But, yeah, I would stay far, far away from both of those games. When we return, what went wrong for the Kings? Well, how much time do you have? Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.
This is Sacktown Sports.
The moves keep moving. Christian Wilkins to the Raiders. I think certain people thought he might go to the Niners. Tony Pollard to the Titans. No clue what the Titans are trying to do here, but, you know, they feel like Tony Pollard will help. Gabe Davis to the Jaguars and DeAndre Swift to the Bears.
Interesting. The Tony Pollard one is surprising to me. I mean, it's just crazy how he went from having the keys pretty much handed to him after Zeke left to, and he's gone.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, man. The NFL moves quick. And, a lot of interesting free agency signings. Yeah, you mentioned DeAndre Swift one. That one kind of came out of the blue. Mm-hmm. He's on his third team in 3 years now, and it's the NFL keeps on moving. I was surprised by that Christian Wilkins news too. That was out of the blue.
Yeah, and Jacina Anderson responded to somebody who said, hey, does it look like Derrick Henry will go to the Cowboys? And she said, from what she's hearing, doesn't look like the Cowboys will be hanging out at the top of the running back market.
Interesting.
So that's really interesting for a team that really built what they do on running. And I feel like the Cowboys don't really have an identity right now. And that's not good.
No.
That is not good, especially when you are trying to make some waves in the NFC. It's also not good to shoot 18.8% from three. Kevin Huerter, 0 for 3. Keegan Murray, 0 for 5. Harrison Barnes, 0 for 1. Malik Monk, 2 for 8. De'Aaron Fox, 2 for 9. Davion, 2 for 5. The Kings have lost their 7 worst shooting performances of the season, and Mike Brown had some things to say as far as why he believes that the Kings are currently struggling. This is what he had to say.
We either got too deep and turned it over, or we just didn't spray the ball. And we told him before the game that this is going to happen. And prior to tonight, you know, overall in the NBA, we do a really good job of spraying the ball. We're third in the NBA with that. But our last 5 games, we've really, really struggled. I don't know why we won't spray the ball, especially when there's a crowd. But tonight we were 4 for 10. We had 10 sprays. The last 5 games, we've averaged 11.6 sprays a game. That puts us at 22nd in the NBA. So our last 5 games, even though we're third in the NBA prior to tonight with our offensive rating. We're not doing a great job spraying the ball. We're holding on to it too long in the paint, or we're trying to score through traffic in the paint. We got to get back to moving that ball and getting easy shots, because easy shots and or sprays for us lead to great threes. And we
Well, there you have it. Yeah, and I'm looking at it here too. The Kings are shooting 31% overall from three in their last five games, and Mike Brown mentioned there that 31% from three on 32 attempts. They are averaging 10 of 32 from three in their last five games, which is obviously not great, especially when their opponents in those five games are shooting 42% from three in those games. So they're just getting killed on the perimeter somehow. They are, what are they? They are 3-2 in those games somehow, but Mike Brown pretty much laid it out there. I mean, I think that we heard it after the Miami game too, like Miami and Chicago, as a matter of fact, both of those teams, Mike Brown said, likes to pack the paint. And so we can't get too deep, or else those guys will get super handsy and we're just not going to be able to spray it out. And that's exactly what's happened. I mean, it's felt like they're turning the ball over a ton. They're just not, I can't think of the last time. Yeah, he said 10 spray threes a game. It feels like the corner threes have just pretty much been eliminated from this team. Yeah. And those are the threes that every team in the NBA is hunting. So, you know, you can kind of see how that would lead to this team looking a whole lot different. And, you know, Sabonis has 9 turnovers. I think he's talking to Domantas Sabonis. I think Malik Monk, we've seen him get in some trouble with that pick and roll, him and Sabonis. So I would think it's mainly those two he's talking about, but also De'Aaron Fox yesterday, I think, only finished with one or two assists as well. So I think it really is a lot on the Kings' main three guys that Mike Brown's kind of pointing at there. And, you know, it's nice to hear. He's not calling them out specifically, but I do think he's asking those guys to just be better and listen to the game plan, which is something we've been talking about a lot when it comes to Mike Brown and where the criticism falls. Mike Brown is telling them, you can't let it get that deep. And all we see as fans is them turning the ball over and over and over. And it's like, why is Mike Brown telling them to do that? Well, he's not. He's telling them to do the opposite. And it's on the players, I think.
Whether we're talking about the National Basketball Association or a baby race, you got to be coachable.
That's right.
And I'm starting to wonder if this Kings team just isn't very coachable.
Huh.
It feels like he's saying the same things over and over again.
Yeah, all year.
Throughout the whole season.
All year. All year it's the same
thing. Throughout
messages.
The whole season. Yeah. I mean, you know, sometimes you sit there and people are debating whether or not to go to the post-game pressers because you already know what he's going to say.
Yep.
You already know what he's going to say.
De'Aaron too. Same thing.
It's the same thing.
Yep.
We got to be better. Yep. We got to be more physical.
Got to lock in.
We got to
mental mistakes.
Yes, our spray threes. We got to compete defensively.
Yeah.
It's the same stuff.
Yeah.
It's the same stuff.
Same problem over and over all season long. And yeah, I mean it's incredibly frustrating. I really don't know how they get out of it. I think it's an interesting question because on the surface, I would say, I mean, De'Aaron always seems like a really coachable guy. Sabonis seems like a nice guy. HB seems like the ultimate nice guy. Mm-hmm. Keegan Murray, he's definitely not pushing authority. I mean, my natural inclination would be yes, but at the same time, I mean, how many times has Mike Brown said, game plan was this? To your point, game plan is this. We're not doing this. And you know, that's on the players. And so I think that, you know, these guys do kind of fall into a little bit of what worked last year. And that was, you know, just flying around, playing fast. And it, I don't know. I mean, I think that they're being played differently than they were last year too. I think that's a part of it. I think that, you know, they just teams know what the Kings are trying to get into. They don't just go against the Kings and say, oh, this is going to be like every other night. They understand that the Kings have certain things that they try and get to, and this is how you can disrupt them. And this is a bit of a pretense to playoff basketball. I think that the game's getting a little bit more physical. I think teams are starting to focus in a lot more on individual matchups, and we're seeing that the Kings are struggling with it. And I don't really know how it gets fixed. I don't know if it is going to get fixed. I just feel like this, like you said, I just think that we've been seeing it all year long, and expecting it to change anytime soon here is going to drive us all crazy.
Yeah, and part of this, too, we got Manny Too Legit here on the Sack Chat. Couldn't get a win for Slamson on his birthday. That's right,
come
Manny.
Come on, man. At
couldn't
least
even, couldn't even get it
day
done.
Of the year, man. It's my
right.
favorite day
they,
of the year.
They flew out yep. these guys, the 76ers,
come on.
Mascot, all these different mascots.
Where was Benny the Bull, man?
You can't even show up yeah. for Slamson. When I think about these threes, Chris, and talking about open threes versus contested threes, mm-hmm. I've said this before, but I do think that as far as what you're talking about and that flow offense, the reason it's so important to get these spray threes is because I'll be honest with you, besides De'Aaron Fox and really, yeah, besides De'Aaron Fox, not including Sabonis because he's not a jump shooter, I don't think the Kings really have tough shot makers. All of their threes are from the flow of the offense, and they're pretty much wide open. If you get a hand in Kevin Huerter's face, he's pump faking and moving. Mm-hmm. If you get a hand in Keegan Murray's face, he's pump faking and moving. I'd say maybe Harrison Barnes
sure.
will
Malik's
take
a tough shot maker.
Malik
sure.
is. Malik yeah. is. But you have at least two or three of your guys yeah. that if they don't get open in the flow of the offense, they're not going to either take the shot
right.
or they're definitely not going to make the shot.
Right.
That's a problem.
Yeah, I mean, it for sure is because I see what you're talking about with Kevin all the time. He's taking these little, like, He'll pump fake, like mm-hmm. you said, and take that little side dribble or crab dribble over to the mm-hmm. side and pull it from there. It's definitely not helped. I mean, for sure, their three-point shooters this year just in general have let them down, from HB to Keegan to Kevin as well. You can throw Duarte in that mix, too. Mm-hmm. They have not been good enough. And, you know, yeah, whether it be from spotting up or even on those little, you know, sidestep shots, the pump fakes, they aren't hitting those. And Trey Lyles, too. Trey Lyles yeah. continues to be pump faking
yeah.
all game and then driving. And it's like, Trey, it's great that you have that optionality, but you're on that floor to shoot the ball. Like, mm-hmm. please let it fly. And I just think for whatever reason, the Kings shooters, I don't know if they've told them to be more conservative with their shots. We've seen them, again, go from taking 40 every single night. Last night, they took 32. I wonder if maybe they're just telling them, unless you are wide open,
right.
don't shoot the ball. I mean, because yeah. maybe they're saying, look, we can, if we just run our offense and you get, and you're not open, just continue to run it and eventually you will get an open shot. So that would be my guess, is that they've just told them to be a little bit more conservative. But yeah, I mean, if your shooters aren't hitting shots, it's going to look tough for them. It has all year long.
Yeah, but you can say that as far as, oh, we're eventually going to get a look. But they haven't been getting the looks. And I don't know if it's this
sure.
offense being stale. Or yeah. I don't know what it is, yeah. but the idea that earlier on in the season, it felt like, okay, they're getting open. Just keep moving, keep
right.
moving. Now
they were just missing shots.
I don't know yeah. if the book is out on this offense. I don't know.
They've ran it for a year and a half now.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a good chance that maybe people have figured out, okay, not only here's how you stop the main action, but once you stop the main action, here's where the next counter goes. Right. And, like, there's a good chance that, yeah, maybe teams are starting to figure out the way that the Kings run offense, or at least are starting to run defenses mm-hmm. that make it harder for the Kings to run their offense. Again, it seemed like the commonality of the Bulls, the Heat, and the Rockets yesterday is, Mike Brown said, packing the paint mm-hmm. really throws everything off. So maybe it is as simple as that. And we saw that's kind of what the Warriors did by mm-hmm. having Looney sag back. Maybe the – I don't know if the word is out, but maybe that's just the kind of defense that really stops the Kings. So we'll see. I mean, we'll see come playoff time, and we'll definitely see down this stretch if teams just kind of start to implement more zones.
See the phone lines lighting up. We will get to those in a second here. When we return, we will continue to discuss what went wrong for the Kings against the Rockets yesterday. Stiles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports. Discussing what went wrong for the Kings yesterday against the Rockets. A lot of people sack chatting on the text line talking about how that was a weird time. It was, you know, daylight savings
right.
and it was a daytime oh, sure. game. It felt, obviously, I was there on my side quest
right.
with the baby race, but the energy felt good to me. It didn't feel
yeah.
off. It didn't feel no. like the, I think, honestly, I think a lot of the crowd is just becoming anxious throughout the game yeah. because you're just waiting for the other shoe to drop.
That's right.
And you're just waiting for them to blow the lead, that's and right. then they do.
Yep, exactly. No, I completely agree. Like, the 3 o'clock time threw off me a little bit, which me and Brendan kind of talked about it on Friday a bit. Like, you know, there's guys who like to take midday naps mm-hmm. and things like that. It does throw off the guys' schedule a bit, but at the same time, you know, it's not like they're going to miss tons of shots because it's a 3 o'clock start. I would agree, if anything, it affects the crowd, but mm-hmm. I would also agree with you in saying that I don't think it had to do with the 3 o'clock start. I think it has a lot to do with the Kings struggling as yeah. of late. And like you said, everybody just kind of waiting for, oh, when's this avalanche going to come? And it eventually came, and it went really, really quickly. And, you know, it took, you know, the scoreboard at the end of the day really did not do this game justice. Like, the mm-hmm. Kings were getting killed. They were doing so good in the first quarter, got up by, I think, as much as 13 in the second. And then by halftime, it was a 4-point game. And then by the end of the third, the Kings were down, I think, 13. And then, yeah, Malik had 15 points in the fourth quarter that helped massage the game. And, yeah, the Kings had a chance to win it maybe at the end of the game. But realistically, the Kings lost that game about halfway through it. And mm-hmm. the fact that they even made it close made it digestible. But at the same time, no ifs, ands, or buts about it. They got killed yesterday.
Yeah, it wasn't great, to put it nicely. Houston shot 41% from three. It's the Kings' third straight game allowing 40% or more.
Ugh.
From three. The Lakers shot 46, basically 47%. The Spurs shot 48%.
Yeah.
These don't even look like real numbers.
It's not real. And I promise you, it's not on 10 threes either. It's on 30-plus threes.
Yeah, yeah. Houston, yeah, like we said, 41%. It's ridiculous. Let's hear from Will, who wants to be a part of the conversation. What's up, Will? What you got for us?
Oh, man, this is a broken record. Hey, look, guys, it had nothing to do with the start time. Nothing. It's been going on all season. Mm-hmm. We can't compete. We can't match up with athletic teams, man. That's just it. Houston swept us 3-0. New Orleans kills us. I mean, San Antonio should have lost that game. Mm-hmm. I mean, we compete against teams that are good, but are not that athletic, like Denver. I mean, look at Jokic. I mean, you know, Denver, we beat them 3 times. We Phoenix. We compete against good teams at the top of the chart because athletically we can hang with them. We can deal with them. But when we play guys like New Orleans, teams like New Orleans, I mean, we should have beat Milwaukee. Remember that game when Dame hit that three out of nowhere? I mean,
yep.
we compete against slow, good teams. We don't have any athletic wings. Zero. We just don't have it. And Murray, I like Murray, but Murray's slow. Lyles is slow. I mean, the only real dog athlete we got is Malik.
Mm-hmm.
And just like yesterday, I think Fox got his shot blocked about two or three times. And then you guys got to be honest with Domas. You know, I love Domas. I love the triple doubles. But when you have 8-9 turnovers, man, it cancels it out. It just cancels it out. He gets frustrated against young athletic bigs that, you know, and he tries to force things. Mm-hmm. And so it's going to keep going on, man, all season because, you know, think about all the teams we lost to. Most of them are not even in the playoffs. Not even, you know, some of those teams not even close to the playoffs. But we struggle with them, like San Antonio and Houston. And if we don't get some athletic players next year, man, it's gonna be the same thing because we're good but we're slow. We can't jump. You know, it's a sad situation, man.
No, thanks for the call, Will. And you know, what's interesting about the whole, I guess, athleticism is different than playing fast. The whole idea last season, when a lot of people thought that the Kings could beat the Warriors. The Kings looked faster than the Warriors.
Right.
They looked like we're going to run them out of the gym. This season is not it is, and I would love to figure out the Kings' pace of play if it is slower than last season. Mm-hmm. But I guess pace of play and athleticism are just two different things. And even though the Kings play fast, they do not have the, I guess, relatively speaking, the elite athletes that a lot of these other teams have. And the problem is, the league is only going to continue to get more athletic,
yeah,
right? I mean,
sure.
The only way you're okay with not having a bunch of those dudes is if you are Denver and you have Jokic, who kind of cancels some stuff out. But all these other teams, Minnesota, right? All these teams, the Thunder, that's just where the league is going. So, you know, we can talk to Will and have that conversation in the summer because we're trying to hang on to this season, but yeah, they're not running that roster back out there.
No, absolutely not.
They can't.
Yeah. No, and two, yesterday as well, you mentioned, Will, I think, mentioned the forwards being the problem, but actually, if you look at the numbers, it was the guards. The guards got absolutely destroyed. Jalen Green had 19, Fred Van Vliet had 22, Amen Thompson had 13, Cam Whitmore had 10. Those were their highest scorers. I mean, Dylan Brooks only had 10. Mm-hmm. Jabari Smith only had 10. Even Şengün, who we'll talk about later, that was scary. Mm-hmm. He only had 14. It was the guards. The guards got absolutely killed, and that's De'Aaron Fox. That's our guy Keon Ellis. That's Malik Monk. That's Davion Mitchell. That's, of course, Kevin Huerter as well. And, you know, I think, if anything, the Kings guards are the most athletic players on the team. So I don't think yesterday was about the athleticism. And I personally just don't really think about the caliber of athletes the Kings have. I do hear, like, when you say Minnesota, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Like, they have Anthony Edwards, who's the freakiest athlete I've ever seen. You know, Jaden McDaniels and Kat. Those three guys are pretty unique when it comes to their athletic abilities. But I would also say they got Mike Conley and Rudy Gobert on the floor at the same time, too. So, you know, I guess if you're saying Keegan, Huerter, and HB aren't quite to the athleticism of those three good guys I listed in Minnesota, I hear you. But I think that, to your first point, I think that playing fast is a form of athleticism. And if you see Kevin Huerter offensively, he's running around like Steph Curry, and that's tough to defend as well. I don't care if you're Anthony Edwards or if you're Kyle Anderson. It's going to be tough to keep up with a dude who's just running the entire time they're on offense. But, no, absolutely. I think the Kings, we can talk about how they can get better next season. But right here, right now, I mean, I just think that they have to they've got to be better on the defensive end. And I don't care if it is – playing Keon Ellis more and maybe taking some Kevin Huerter minutes away, I do think that they have to at some point shut off the faucet on the other end because, I looked at it, Denver, when they played the Celtics on Thursday on TNT, you know what they shot from three? 18%, and they still beat the Boston Celtics. So if the Denver Nuggets can shoot 18% from three and beat the best team in the NBA – why can't the Kings shoot 18% and beat a team that's 12th in the West right now?
It's true. You're looking here. Kings blew an early 13-point lead, just a terrible third quarter. They led by 13 with 9 minutes left in the second quarter. Houston cut it to 4 by half, led by 13 at the end of the third. Oh, and you know what? When you talk about that third quarter, this is not something to go back to the conversation as far as the time slot. This is not something unique to the Kings. But that is that time slot to when you are traveling. That's when you say, we're going to get them. Everybody's up getting popcorn. Everybody's up getting a hot dog. And you come back and the lead is completely gone. So I'm not blaming that on the fans for going to get popcorn or whatever it is. But that is where the Kings have to figure it out themselves and say, hey, this is where teams are making that run.
Yep.
Let's figure out a way to stop it. And that is just another piece of this. But speaking of the fans, coming up next, we discuss booing. Okay, not okay. Styles and Watkins, Sacktown Sports.